Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and jump into the Word, and let's go ahead and hand out our notes, our teaching notes. Praise the Lord. We're going to speak today on the theme, Possessing the Promise. Possessing the Promise. And I would like to ask if Matthew would go ahead and, the Scripture's on the back of your page. Go ahead and read that, buddy.
Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
This is a passage that's given to a new leader whose mentor has passed away. And I'm looking at this for us as the beginning of the year. This is the day, and if you've never done this with us before, we're going to, about the last, probably about 25 minutes from now, we'll go ahead and write letters to the Lord. And this is not really like writing a New Year's resolution. How many of you have tried those before? And about 3 days later, you go, I don't know what that was about. Because that's about willpower. But this is about a letter to the Lord I've done this over the years, where you're saying to the Lord, these are the things that I'm trusting you to work in my life. In fact, I want to start, you know, I don't know if you guys know about this little piece of baseball history, but Babe Ruth was in the 1932 World Series. He was playing for the New York Yankees, and they had Charlie Root was the winningest pitcher of the Chicago Cubs since then. Now, I mean, it's historically. So you have Babe Ruth on one team, and this two icons basically a showdown. And in this World Series, one has already won one game, and another team has already won the game, and now it's the third game that decides who's going to win the World Series. It's big stuff. The tie is 4-4, and now we're at the top of the fourth inning. And Charlie Root throws a pitch, and Babe Ruth, a strike goes by. Phew, strike. And then Charlie Root throws another one. Another strike. At this time, the hecklers in Wrigley Field begin heckling. How do you know hecklers heckle? And it's big stuff because you got one's lost, both teams have won, and now you're at this climactic moment. And it's like, who's going to set the tone here? Babe Ruth steps outside of the batter's box when the hecklers are heckling, and he lifts up his bat and he points to center field. And he gets back in the batter's box. And the next pitch, he hits the ball 440 feet and gets his, or yards, whatever it is. But he knocks this, feet, and he knocks it. And that's the turning point in the game. And it's the turning point in the World Series. There's been many stories told about that particular game. But here's the point. You and I have won some and lost some. And this is a climactic time in our life. And maybe you're close to striking out. How many of you have some areas in your life you say, I've tried that before and I'm not so good at that? Are you there? And you've already had the ball come by and you've missed it a few times. And you can hear the heckling in the back of your mind about this is going to be the same old, and you're going to strike out. But it's time to step outside the batter's box. And to lift the bat and say, this is what's going to happen. Amen. Where are you pointing and what's going to happen? What are you predicting? What are you prophesying? What are you declaring that's going to, what is going to happen next? And that's what we want this day to be. When we get those letters out, say, Lord, I'm trusting in you to do something. Because when he got back in the batter's box, he hit that thing and changed his history. And this is a year we want to change some history. And I heard amens all over the place. And so when we're looking at Joshua here, I want us to jump into looking at what it's going to take to possess promise, because you got to know a couple of things. And here's what happened in preparing this. I just broke this whole passage down. And so your points are going to be kind of long, and they're going to have a few words in them, because I've wrapped up about four principles in each point. So let's go ahead and look at our, this first one's not that many, but let's go ahead and look at our first point. To possess the promise, you must know the area of influence God assigned you to, and to us, the place of spiritual dominion. You have been given a place, an area of influence God has assigned you to. Each person has an area that they've been given, that the Lord says, the soles of your feet, when you go into this place, this is the place I've given you dominion, spiritual domain. There's a whole place, a territory that's been given to you in your life. We see in the reading of the text, he says, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I will give unto you, just as I promised Moses. And then it says, from the wilderness, and it defines the area. In this Lebanon, so far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. There's an actual specific territory. In the Acts 17, 26, we're told, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries for their dwelling place, and that they should seek the Lord and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each of us. And that we're told in this particular scripture that there is a place where God has set people. He's allotted them a place, and he's built a boundary. But then Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 10, 13 through 16, says, we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us. The area of influence God assigned to us. We're not going to boast beyond that. We're going to boast in just one thing, the area of influence that God has assigned to us to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you, for we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that your faith, as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. In your life, in the life of City Church, there's a spiritual terrain. There's a spiritual dominion. How many of you, when you're writing your letters, you just, or even now, you're just thinking, you know, there's an area that I was in maybe, or now I'm in a new one, but there's a point at which there is an area you know you're assigned to. This is going to really affect a lot of us as the points develop. But the first thing you have to know is God has a place for you of spiritual dominion. Just take a moment and think about that. Because the devil wants to lie to you and say, you don't have any place. He wants to trample on you and take away the hope that you have for any kind of sense of jurisdiction over life and relationships that you have to be a blessing. Is that right? And the Lord is saying to us, in addition to good old Babe Ruth, point the bat, he's saying, there's a place that I've given you to tread, and I've given it to you. I'm discovering, and this year is a big year of discovery on what that realm is as we come down here. It's really, I know that I'm going to be way stretched beyond normal. I've already been stretched. How many of you have ever been stretched so much you feel like Gumby? You just feel like, what am I doing? And yet I know, because there is a sphere of influence that this place had in the past. In fact, I've been reading a book was given to me called Sketches and Remembrances. I shared some of this Wednesday night. But there's ideas in the book that talk about the godly. This place really embraced a powerful sense of godly spirituality. That people who went here loved the Lord passionately. And the history of this place is that people grew up in the faith and they walked with God here. And that's what's in that book, written by a fellow that named Miller. At Miller Middle School is named after. He was went here and was also the superintendent of the school system. He's written a book. And he talks about this, the spirituality of this house. and also the community service and the dominion that has been given. And so we're picking up a mantle. We're picking up something that we weren't able to do in the other place, but we can do here. And the Lord is the one who brought us here. I'm not the one who did this. If it goes all south, just look at God. Amen. How many of you, when you're whispered to by the Lord to step into a place of spiritual dominion, somehow you feel like it's all on you anyway? And the Lord says, no, this is a partnership. And we're going to look at that. In fact, let's look at the next point. Number two, to possess the promise, you must know the authority given in your relationship with God. Being courageous, knowing a legacy is being established. I put it all in there. Every principle from there on down. After the domain, the next thing he says is, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as it was with Moses, so I will be with you. So there's the authority. Authority. And then there's this, I will not leave you or forsake you. There is the relationship. The relationship. And then be strong and courageous. There's the courage. He says that over and over. Be strong and courageous. I feel like that is a word also in facing areas of your life where you feel like you've been defeated in the past. The Lord says, rise up. Be strong. I never left you. I'm giving you a new sense of terrain, a new sense of authority, a new sense of anointing over what you're facing, and you will win this time. Just go ahead and point the bat out in center field. I'm going to win this time. We're going to slug this thing all the way out. How many of you have areas of weakness in your life? Now, that's almost a silly question. Some sins go are obvious. Some go on publicly before the others come behind. It says, but I have areas of weakness. And I believe the Lord is with me, and he's speaking to me about those areas and says, it's going to be different this time. I need to hear that because there's an authority given. In fact, we says you've given authority, Luke 10:19, you've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. And I'm not talking about some garden snake and some scorpion down in the desert. These are demon powers, demonic powers, powers of darkness. You've been given authority over these. And all this stuff, it says, and nothing shall by any means harm you. You've been given authority. Tell somebody next to you, I've been given authority. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, then you have been given authority, no matter your age level in the Lord, no matter how far you've come along. Whether you're a babe in the Lord where you just say, Jesus, and God just shows up and takes care of the darkness because you cried out for the one who brings all light. Or if it's that you've got a little bit more under your belt and you've realized how to identify things or seek the Lord and understand what's coming. It says, no man in this will be able to stand up against you. I've given you authority. As I was with Moses, this is for us, it would be, as I was with Jesus, so I'm with you. I'm with you. So I will never leave you or forsake you. How many of you, is there anybody here that needs to hear, the Lord's not leaving you, he hasn't left you, he hasn't forsaken you? And when you step into a new turf, a new place, there will be reactions of the adversary. There will be things, whether here or in your own life, where you're breaking through into new things, there will be little areas where hell wants to take advantage of you, cause you not to fulfill what God's purpose in your life is. Oh, I love this other part. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers I would give them. And this is the part about the legacy in this point. What you're doing is for more than you. When I realize that the decisions I make affect grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and yours do too, what you do affects people beyond you. The way you live has a tremendous effect. And so your choices affect people around you. Maybe you don't have any kids. Maybe it ends with you. But still, the people around you, there's a legacy of the way you've walked, the things that you've given yourself to that make a deposit in the planet, a deposit in the earth. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and look at point number three. We are scooting right along here. Number three, your outward success is determined by your internalizing the Word of God and acting on it. Your outward success is determined by your internalizing the Word of God and acting on it. How many of you know a victory is an inside job first? And in this string of exhortations, it says he's exhorting him to be strong, be careful to do according with the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And then it gets to that part that we probably know more than the others, and I even highlighted it on the back of your notes there. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be able to be careful to do it according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Let me read it one more time. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. And then the verse goes on, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? There it is again. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What happens here is this. God has this outward success for us, but we're not ready on the inside. And there are things that the Lord says, I want you to be ready on the inside. I have to grow you into it. How many of you have experienced that kind of thing already? This is out here, but we've got to get you ready. There is no outward success. Here's what happens when outward success becomes before you're ready for it on the inside. You squander it. It goes through your fingers, if it's finances. If things are set up to bless you, you misuse them. You don't have your life together. And the Lord says, I want you to have things right on the inside. Will you seek me? Now, I'm going to take just a little bit further on this. There is a verse in Deuteronomy 17. I don't know if you have your Bible there, if you want to, your phone, but Deuteronomy 17, starting with verse 14. I'm going to read down through a little bit here. It says this. The Lord talking to his people. When you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You may indeed set a king over you, whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as a king. You shall not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself, or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses, since the Lord has said, you shall never return that way again. When I say horses, everybody say glory. And you shall not acquire many wives. He shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Everybody say girls. Nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. Everybody say gold. These are the three main things that affect everybody who wants to prosper. The glory, girls, and gold. Right there in the scripture. It's the truth. When somebody gets ahead and they quit being faithful in their marriage, they want more of this, more of that, act aloof, all kinds of things go wrong. So the Lord's speaking to this right now. But now watch what he says. Verse 18, and when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests. In other words, we're going to go ahead and give you a copy of the scriptures, and you're going to write your own copy of it. That he may learn to fear, it says that it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. In other words, he's saying this. When I give you a position of authority, I don't want you to use it for special privilege. When I put you in a place of authority, I want you to go ahead and decide against yourself. How many of you found that sometimes the best choice you can make is deciding against yourself? To say, I'm not going to give to this. I'm not going to give to this in my flesh life or my carnality. I'm going to go ahead and plan the way of the Lord and fulfill that. How many of you discover that's not always easy? Are we still here? Because we know just a minute we're going to be handing out papers and we're going to write our letters to Jesus and take a little time to do that. Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Somewhere in that letter and somewhere this year, I would love to invite you to a pattern of being before the Lord in His Word. More than you have. Are you there? I'll tell you why. Matthew chapter 12, 43 through 45 says this. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. And then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the person is worse than the first. And also will be, it also will be with this evil generation. Here's what's going on here. A person comes to the Lord. They get rid of all this stuff in their life. Stuff of the adversary, works of darkness, cleansed, deal with issue after issue. Now there's one word in here that's the haunting word. Are you ready? You want to hear the haunting word? The spirit comes back and finds the house empty. Empty. Everybody say empty. Empty means the word of God is not in it. It was the word of God that helped give you dominion, because I was almost about to title this Possessing the Land or Being Possessed. Because if you do not make up your mind that you're going to pursue the Lord, this is how it works. Have you been to the ocean? This is how that works at the ocean. All the kids run out there and play at the ocean, and there's a current. Has anybody ever played in the ocean, and finally you're playing for a while, and you look up, oh my gosh, my family's way down there. Yes. Yes. And that's the current of the world. The world system pulls you away. If you don't have something settled in your heart about, I'm going to pursue God, you're going to end up washed down somewhere, so disconnected. And hell's going to come along and say, because you didn't take seriously entering into the things of promise, understanding that I have a place for you, that I've given you authority, and that you can enter into it when you lay hold of my word and walk with me. And when you do that, you end up taking the land. But when you don't, you end up being empty, and hell comes back and goes, okay, and you can just, right now, some of you can probably think of people, oh yeah, they were walking real good. Where are they? Oh, they're worse off than ever. Why? Because they didn't fill up their life with the word of the living God. And when you don't fill up your heart with the Lord, with the word, what happens? You're empty, because hell will come back and bring seven times worth. There are people that are going, man, I thought they were on fire for God. Set a fire in my soul. That fellow quickened that song to me to sing this morning, because he was saying you need a fresh fire ignited. And everybody needs to say, look, I need to lay hold of the life-giving. There's a dullness has come to some of you, and the Lord's taking that dullness away right now. It's lifting right now. You've been dull of hearing because you haven't been active in wanting to obey. The Lord's just going ahead and giving you a gift this morning. Go ahead and receive that. Say, Lord, I thank you for a freshness. Well, He's saying right now, you go ahead and come to my word, and I'll be speaking with you. Let's praise Him right now. Thank you, Lord. He's removing the dullness. You don't want dullness in your heart. You don't want dullness. You sure don't want the still small voice to be the devil. You want the still small voice to be the work of the Holy Spirit bringing you along. Yes. There needs to be a fresh passion in our heart this year. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You're the Lord's people. And there's a territory, a spiritual dominion. God says, I'm giving you a place. And every place you put your foot, you tread there, it's yours. And there's an authority given to you to take that and leave a legacy and to be encouraged by that. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We don't just applaud you, Lord. We receive the word today where your word penetrates. Lord, we don't want to be a bunch of empty, what you call it, empty-headed ninny hammers that don't have a freshness of the word of God activated in their life. Or you'll end up somewhere you don't want to be. And sin will have a much stronger hold. As you know, sin will take you longer than you wanted. It'll take you somewhere you didn't want to stay that long. It cost you a whole lot more than you wanted to pay. Isn't that right? But you don't have to be that person. Because when the hell comes back, it finds, uh-oh, they're full. I used to pray this way. I said, Lord, when hell comes would you just, and knocks at the door, would you answer it for me? Because I don't want to fall back into what I was before. Amen? And Jesus, look. Jesus laid aside his privileges. There's something about when you back to that point right before this, when you say, when you grow up and you grow and there's other things available to you, decide against it. Because things will clutter your soul so fast. Simplify. Prioritize that time with the Lord. Amen? He's speaking today. Pray this. Everybody receive the warning? The warning is you don't want to be empty. You want to have part of your letter to be talking about a fresh work of the whole Lord's work in you and the Word of God in you and a pathway for that. Which way you're pointing the bat this year? You're going to knock it and change history. Let's go ahead and stand together then. The mountains stand before you. The demons run and flee. At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I Am. Great I Am, great I Am, great I Am, great I Am. Amen. Hug on each other and we'll fellowship together. God bless. We have prayer people over here if you have a further need for prayer. Hallelujah.